Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm Bill Shear. I'm the senior pastor here, along with my wife, Sandy, and there's a lot of great people that are here. Let's welcome everybody in Skytook, and let's welcome everybody at Just Done this today, okay? So everybody at Skytook, everybody at Just Done. And just so you guys know, you guys at Skytook at Just Done, probably 40, 45% of the people applauded. The rest of them really don't care about you. So, and I know you'll get over it, okay? Can I tell you the predominant theme of this message? Better life is within your reach. The way things are right now, you might think, man, things are going pretty good. How's it going? Well, it's good. It's pretty good. Let me tell you, what's within reach right now is better. Here's how God does this. He's like, okay, what's in your heart? What's in your hand? What's in your house? What's in your field? You don't have to look beyond your field, okay? God's already given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. All your needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's what we've got to understand. We've got to understand we're the head, not the tail. We're above only and never beneath. But this is why we're here today, because there's better within your reach, okay? And there's only abundant life in God's promises. So understand, I'm going to preach his promises today and nothing else. Nothing is going to put a lid on you. Nothing's going to limit you. And nothing's going to curse your life that you're going to hear today. All of it's going to lift you. All of it's going to elevate you. All of it's going to make your life limitless, and it's going to bless you in the name of Jesus. But we have to then turn and live on purpose. Purpose factors into everything. And here's the priorities of Guts Church. There's the property that we are about to expand. There are the programs, because the property houses the programs. Okay, the programs, what we offer, the school of ministry, the internship, new believers classes, church services, kids services, youth services. They're all a part of the programs that we offer to equip God's people, which is the second priority. The fourth priority is property. Third priority is programs. Second priority is people. And you'll think, well, it's all about the people. No, it's not. It's all about the first priority, which is God's purpose. See, why? The purpose of God is the number one priority, but it's people who fulfill God's purpose. It's programs that equip God's people, and it's property that houses his programs. Okay? Clear as mother's milk? Okay, so I'll move on. See, I think most people live in denial and outside of what's truly real. See, things that we see are temporal or temporary, are subject to change. Things that we don't see are eternal. And see, we've got to live by God's word. We've got to live by what we really don't see or what we really haven't felt. See, things that are seen are temporary or temporal. See, the things we see visually, they change. The invisible things, that's where God's destiny is in our lives. And that's his word, his spoken word. That's why the Bible doesn't say that faith comes by seeing God's word. No, it says faith comes by hearing God's word. See, that's what we've got to understand. We've got to understand, we've got to guard what we hear. And we've got to then not mix it all up. In Proverbs 13:12, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's the tree of life. There's three times the tree of life is mentioned in God's word. Once is in Genesis, the other's in Revelation. The third is in this proverb. See, it's pretty interesting that I think a lot of Christians have lived their life and are kind of melancholy about it, and they aren't really sold out to it because they've deferred their hope. Man, don't defer your hope ever. Allow it to be an anchor for your soul. See, what's interesting is most of what the world is dealing with, the word doesn't have any deference to it. Most of it. People will say, well, is that in the word? It's like, no, because It's not what God's point. See, we have to look at what God is directly dealing with us about, and that's where we put our priority, not what the world says. It's where I truly believe there's going to be a massive migration of unbelievers and sinners into the church. Why? Because the devil's trying to deflect it by having a massive migration of immigrants into our country. It's like, wait a second. So we get all up in arms and we get all about opinions when it's like, I went to the border. I met with the border patrol. I'll tell you what was in my heart. What was in my heart was Friday groceries. That's what was in my heart. It's like, what do we do? Let's build a barn. Let's build a warehouse. Let's fill it with groceries. Let's collect them. Let's have a church service. Okay, I'm not saying that politically. I am not saying open our borders. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is I'm always going back to purpose. Well, you know, there's a big design. Let me tell you something. The big design is in God's promise. The big design, remember, here's what Paul wrote. Paul wrote, I think, in Colossians or Philippians. He said, look, you're being moved, you're being translated from darkness, now listen, into the kingdom of his son. The kingdom of his son is what God's translated us to. It's where our life is. And we've got to understand that. In Mark, the fourth chapter, Jesus puts it this way. Jesus said, and again, he began to teach by the sea. I want to back up. I want to tell you, the only immigration that I'm referring to today is the migration into the church. That's the one I'm referring to. Okay? None of it has any political bearing or national bearing politically. Okay? And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat on the sea, and a whole multitude was on the land facing him. It was like spring break. And verse 2, it said, then he taught them many things by parables. And all these parables were regarding the seed. Okay? And said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, now listen, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil or depth of earth. Okay? But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell upon thorns. And the thorns grew up and checked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced. Underline that or highlight. Write that in your note. Increased and produced. That's what the word's going to do in your life. It's going to increase and produce in your life. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Okay, and he said to them, and this is important, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, I'd love to say everybody in here, everybody watching, everybody had just done that you've got ears to hear. But Jesus said, look, you who have ears to hear, let him hear. See, you got to tune into this. Man, it's not so much how you hear the words. It's the tone that you hear it in. Tone matters. Tone in how you minister to your wife or your husband. Tone in how you raise your kids. Tone in how you do your job. Tone in how you oversee employees. See, the whole world operates by seeds. See, we started as a seed. And we've got to understand that. Now let's go to verse 13 in Mark 4. In Mark 4, 13, and he said to them, don't you understand this parable? He said, for you to understand anything, because he said, how then will you understand all the parables? See, this right here is the door, the entry point to understanding everything about the kingdom. So do you understand how important this is? And then, and after he said that in verse 14, he said, the sower sows the word. So now he correlates the word as seed. See, understand, God's promises are real. They're yes and amen, but they're delivered in seed form, not in harvest form. See, that's why what you're getting today, the seed you're getting today, is more precious than gold. You know, it's interesting. It's like, which would you rather have? You know, Tripp plays this game. Charleston plays this game. Which would you rather have? And if I'd ask you, would you rather have a brick of gold or would you rather have this word? It's like all of our flesh would go, I'll take the gold. But our spirit man doesn't care about that gold. That spirit man saying, look, sow the seed, sow the seed, sow the seed. And these are the ones, verse 15, by the wayside, where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately, okay? These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And let me tell you, I think this is most people that are thinking, man, I love the church. I love the tone of the church. I love the music. Man, I want to be involved. And immediately, and they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. What's interesting is there's people that'll ask me, man, why do these men of God or why do these preachers stumble? And it's happened my whole ministry career. It's not anything new. But I'm telling you why. It's for the word's sake. Man, the temptation, the tribulation, man, the opportunity to sin comes before them. Why? It's not because of who they are. It's because of the word in them. Man, the Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. See, we've got to understand how God operates, and then we'll understand how the devil operates. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. I'll tell you what's interesting. I was reading this last week as I was putting this message together, and I thought about this. I thought, thorns are porn. Let me rephrase that. Porn is thorns. Now, these are the ones, now when you hear this, and I know it's going to be hard for you to unhear it, okay? Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, if you'd ask me about porn, it's like, well, what's wrong with porn? It's going to choke the word in you. You're going to be unfruitful. And we have to understand that. Man, it's a deception of the enemy that it's a victimless activity. See, and we've got to deal with that in our own hearts. And let me just tell you, it's not just about accountability. It's about we as men and women taking responsibility. Taking responsibility, why? For the purpose of God in our lives. And we can't ever get away from that. You know, I know people will say, well, your character shows when nobody's looking or nobody's around. Yeah, I get it, but there's never no one looking in my life. God's always looking. See, and I've got it. Nobody's even breathing right now. What's going on here? but and then moving on, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, the next two words are pivotal. They accept it. See, that's why you'll hear things. This isn't so much taught. I'm not a teacher, okay? The word is taught, but let me tell you, it is, the value in the word is when it's caught. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it or receive it or catch it. And then what's going to happen? They're going to bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. My little brother Jeff is a Mensa genius. His IQ is crazy, okay? And his math is just something it's just remarkable. He's a genius and in that area. but I thought about this as a brand new Christian. It doesn't say some 30 times some 60 times, some 100 times. See, this scripture, this promise isn't 100x. It's 100-fold. And I'm telling you, I can't back this up. I'm just telling you how I think and have thought since 1979. This is one of the first things I really truly thought through in the Word. But it said some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. When you take a piece of paper and you fold it, it has two parts. If you fold it a second time, it has four parts. If you fold it a third time, I'd have to call my little brother to tell me how many parts there are. But it's not three times more. It's a lot. And then you fold it again, and you fold it again. You fold it 30 times, you're probably in the multiple thousands. You fold it 60 times, you're in the tens or hundreds of thousands. You fold it 100 times, now it's astronomical. Well, that's what God's word does when it begins to produce in our lives. See, God uses seed to show how his word works in our lives. Remember, it's seed time and harvest. And what's bad is most of the translations of that, either seed time is one word or it's a hyphenated word. And it's not meant to be. It's meant to be two words. It's not two things, seed time and harvest. It's three things. It's seed, time, and harvest. The correlation or the cross-reference to that is let patience have its perfect work, that time. Well, you'll be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. See, seed, time, and harvest. Man, there's too many people that, man, you'll sow seed and you'll try to dig it up and see if anything's happening. You've got to trust the word. The word's being sown in your life. That's where you put your trust. See, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. When you lean, you put all your weight on him. You put all your weight on God's promise. But then if it doesn't work, you're going to fall. And you know what? You're never going to fall. See, he makes our feet as hind's feet so we never fall. He widens the path beneath our feet so we don't slip. See, we've got to understand this. And then Peter puts it this way. Peter says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed. See, we've got to think differently than we did when we weren't Christians. See, we're Christians now. We're a whole new people. We're a whole new people. And our citizenship's in heaven. See, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Do you understand? You're born now, you're born again of incorruptible seed. You can't be corrupted. That's what you have to, the way you have to look at it. You know, we all fail. You know, there's people, and I'll tell you, I've got a huge pet peeve. It's gonna be in my book about pet peeves. And I got a huge pet peeves. Well, we all screw up. We're all sinners. You're not a sinner. How many of you guys are Christians? Let me see your hands. Wave to me. Robustly wave to me if you're a Christian. That means you're not a sinner. You're born again. You're born of an incorruptible seed now. You're not corruptible anymore. Man, otherwise, or unless you buy in, unless you cast away your confidence, unless you buy into what the enemy's saying. His lies, his deception. How do you not buy in? You trust the word. You don't just trust the word that you've seen. You trust the word that you've heard and that you've received and that you've allowed to be sown in your life that is rooted. Now your life is rooted and grounded in faith. And what's going to happen? That seed's going to spring forth and it's going to produce fruit. And the fruit's going to be incredible. Having been born again and not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Everything you see is temporary. The word that's on the inside of you lives forever. And see, we've got to understand that because all flesh is of grass. And all glory of man as the flower of the grass. And the grass withers and its flower falls away. That's our flesh. But what? The word remains forever. But the word of God, the word of the Lord endures forever. Listen, there's a forever power, an incorruptible seed that produces a forever power on the inside of all us. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. See, in Ephesians 4:17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." You don't walk the way you used to walk. You don't walk the way your family walks. You don't walk the way you were raised. You don't walk the way you were taught. You don't walk that way anymore as the rest of Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, keep in mind that the world, the system of the world, the media of the world, the communication of the world, the preaching of the world operates in the futility of their minds, alienated from the life of God. Man, the people that you're listening to, are they connected to God's word? Are they standing on God's promise? Well, their hearts are darkened. See, the promise of God has to be your personal revelation. And this is a big deal. Not just something you're counting on from somebody else because somebody's preached it to you. It's got to be yours. You got to take it to heart. You got to study to show yourself approved. You know what it's like? Most of church life, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. It doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like school or a class. Because what happens when you have a test in school? You cram. Well, if you cram in a test and you're reasonably intelligent, you're usually going to pass that test. But you're not going to retain it. See, God doesn't want you to cram for a test. God wants you to receive it with gladness, so that you retain it and it roots in your life. You know, in Pastor Sandy and I lived in San Jacinto, California, and one day I got up in the morning and they were out trenching our front yard. And it was just a rental house, so I didn't care. But they're trenching it. And I walked over to this trench and it was like 10 or 12 feet deep. I thought, oh my gosh. I said, how deep do you have to go? They said, well, we have to go usually past where the Bermuda root is. And you guys know that we have Bermuda grass and fescue, and is that the primary two grasses here, Taylor? You know what they call Bermuda grass in Southern California? Devil grass. Because you can't kill it. And they're wrong because I've proven you can. Okay? But the guy, I said, oh my gosh, how deep do you have to go? He goes, sometimes 40 feet. I said, to get beyond the Bermuda root? He said, no, we can't get beyond it. It's too deep. He said, we can just get to where it won't crush the pipes. I'm like, oh my gosh. Man, you think about this, that in our lives, that's how God's word has to root in our life. I've seen so many people that have dealt with a health concern or what, and not flinch, not skip a beat. Do you understand? 4 years ago, Pastor Sandy had a liver transplant. Do you understand? You can ask Taylor. She never broke stride. Never any fear, never any doubt, never any anxiety. Not a bit. I watched her. And you know what? So I didn't either. And I wouldn't have anyway. But the point is, how did she prevail so incredibly well through that? She didn't cower. She didn't flinch. She didn't blink. See, and we've got to understand that we receive the word and we allow it to root in our life. And man, you let the word get so deep. Man, you let the, and there are too many people out there that are preaching someone else's revelation, something that they've heard. And I know that's how most preachers start, okay? And I think that there's an allowance to that. But I think you have to have, this has to be revelation in our lives for us to preach it. And this may be where you start, but you have to have the harvest of the seed of God's word in your life. See, that's why the Bible says that we can't judge your heart, but we judge your fruit. What's so big about that? Because that means that the word has worked in your life and is rooted in your life and has sprung forth and has produced fruit. Right, Chano? That's how this works. See, and then there's others who preach a doctrine that they can't even back up in the word. And understand, that's where the devil gets in. That's where, well, maybe God took her, or maybe God allowed that to happen, or why did God allow that to happen? See, Jesus didn't deal with any of that stuff. Personal revelation of God's promises, it is what brings abundant life. And see, that's what's within reach. What's within reach for you is abundant life. And you know what that is? It's better life. And a great example of this kind of secondhand gospel that isn't God's will, we don't operate this in secondhand, is in Acts the 19th chapter. That some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, over those who had evil spirits, saying, now listen, we cast you out, or we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And also there were the seven sons of Sceva, who were a Jewish chief priest who did this as well. And in verse 15 it says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who the heck are you? And then the man who had that evil spirit turned on him, beat him down, humiliated him, and ran him off and naked and humiliated. See, putting roots down is vital to our victory. We're not just saying this because we've heard it. Man, and I love it. My grandkids will say, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he's in the world. I'm created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everything I put my hand to prospers, yet no weapon formed against me will. Because that's kind of a common theme, because that's a profession of faith that I make all the time. And so I know other people do. And let me tell you, it's great, but it's got to be in you. You got to be able to back it up in God's promise. It's got to be seated. It's got to be rooted and grounded in faith in your heart and producing fruit in your life. See, and how this happens, and let me tell you, this isn't a spiel, and this isn't, listen, but the gut school of ministry and the internship are designed to help with this in your life. And let me tell you, you'll think, well, but I don't know if I'm a candidate. Let me tell you, you are. Because there's better life within reach, and we get it by having the word sown in our life. And you know what the concern about the school of ministry really is? Are people going to be able to keep up with it? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. But let me just tell you, what's the world like for you right now? What's social media like for you right now? What's the wars and the rumors of wars and the Ukraine and Israel and the border and the dollar and Hollywood and... And you look at it, it's like coming at us from a fire hose. Well, let me tell you, that's what the school of ministry is offering you. And it's a commitment. No, duh. That's what all this is. Would you say you're living in revelation of the word? Is it something you've heard? See, because here's how it is. It's information, becomes knowledge, becomes wisdom, becomes understanding, which turns into revelation, what we live by. I live by this word. I'm just telling you. And I can't get away from it. It's cost me relationships. It really has. It's probably cost me some worldly promotion. But you know what? I'm staying true to the word in my heart. I got to look at my face in the mirror. I got to put my head on that pillow. What's a clear conscience, Taylor? It's a soft pillow. We all are somewhere on that scale. Information, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, revelation. That's why you'll hear people say, there's people that'll say, I'll hear preachers say, man, I've got faith for money, but I just don't have faith for health. It's like, what are you doing? They're operating on the scale below revelation. We can't do that. In the parable of the soil, in the book of Luke, Jesus makes mention saying that fruit's produced, but without maturity. That's a concern in my life. I don't want to produce immature fruit. Let's close with one more command from Jesus. John 15:4, write it down. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, and without me, you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Can we go back to the beginning of that statement from Jesus? Jesus was the Word made flesh. The Word and the name of Jesus are parallel. They're synonyms, okay? So let's read that, and I'm gonna put a little bit different tone in it with verse 4. Abide in the Word and the Word in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the Word. The Word is the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in the Word and the Word in him bears much fruit, for without the Word you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't abide in the Word, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Verse 7. Maybe I'm done. I'm done. Sorry. But you can interchange Jesus and the Word there. The Word is paramount. The Word is the answer. Your life is in God's Word. Your promotion's in God's Word. Your future's in God's Word. Why? Because the Word is seed. God's promises are delivered in seed form. You've got to let them in your heart. And then, listen, let's say it's finances and you're believing God for it and you're not prospering. There must be stones. There may not be enough soil. There may be thorns. It may be parched. You just hearing the Word, the washing of the water of the Word hydrates the soil of your heart so seed can be sown in it. That's what most of the music we sing is. It's all the Word. And you know, it's not, hey, it just may, maybe God allowed it. We're not singing that. You know, there's songs out there that are popular amongst some people that'll say, God, you're still moving mountains. God's not moving mountains. He's told us to. He said, look, say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. See, that's how powerful this Word is in us. But you've got to allow the seed of God's Word to take root in your heart. And if anything, stop it and check yourself. Check your heart. And then guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. See, but the issues of life, the devil wants to turn and where the world is dictating the issues of life to us. And that's not what the Word says. The Word says out of us flows the issues of life. So guess what? God put something in your heart. Homeless people, trafficked people, hungry people, foster people. You know what? That means that's in your heart, that it's going to flow from you. And that's where the gifts that God gives us, that's where they take effect. Because God's gifted us completely differently. See, I know that a lot of people are waiting for the gift that's in my life as a leader to dictate the direction we're going. And I'm great with the direction, but let me tell you, you dictate the gifts you operate in. And God gives them to you as it pleases him. Man, the ministry's not doling out gifts, God does. And how do those gifts come? Those gifts come because the Word begins and there's mature fruit in your life. And what's that mature fruit? That mature fruit turns in to the mission of your life. Please, it doesn't matter how old you are. All of this applies. Man, these babies, these junior high kids that were up here earlier, that's what they're hearing today. They're saying God has gifted you Find out. Here's how you find out. You study the word. Because let me tell you, you study to show yourself approved. That approval is where the gift flows from. And it's from heaven, man. The world cannot do anything to defeat it. Man, there's so much that we could say. So much that we could hear. You know, you look at John 15. Why don't you go home and read that like 35 or 40 times where you get it in you. And then you start confessing, God, I thank you that Jesus is the vine. His word is the vine. I'm the branch. I'm grafted into that vine. I'm the wild olive branch. I'm just telling you how God grafted me into his son Jesus, into his word, is remarkable to me. But you know what? You got to have an insatiable appetite for God's promise. Do you want all of God you can get? See, I go back to that. I heard that the first week I was a Christian. Sure, you want all of God you can get? It's like, I'm not an idiot. Sure I do. You're going to find him in his word. This Sunday's Easter. You're going to be here and you're going to bring people. No discussion. This Friday is Good Friday. We're going to have a worship service. Forgiveness is going to come into play in everyone's life. Your dad is getting forgiven. Your old bosses, your old coach is getting forgiven. Your in-laws are getting forgiven. Okay, Cassie? Dawson, you good with that? Do you guys love Dawson? Dawson and Cassie operate in the fruit of the Spirit like people I've never met. People say, what's Dawson like? He's like, I don't know. I'm competitive and I'm trying to catch up with the fruit of the Spirit that operates in his life. Gentleness, kindness. It's like, yeah, sure, you need some of that. Man, I love you guys. I thank you for being here. I went over time. Get over it. This is old school. Some of you guys would have kids. Instead of being in the nursery, they'd be asleep on the seat next to you. That was back in the day. Anybody have any questions? I'm not saying, do you have any comments? Oh, I do have a burr in my saddle. And for you city people, that's a bummer. We close our services by saying we'll have elders and pastors on each side of the stage to minister to you and pray for you. And I see people, most people leave and they take their issue with them. Things that they're dealing with, things that these guys, let me tell you what these elders and pastors are. They're the monsters under the devil's bed. Meaning they're who the devil's worried about getting into the affairs of your life. If he's got control of any area of your life, come up here and let one of these guys pray for you and minister to you. And just snap his neck. Man, they're people that'll, whatever you're dealing with, they'll tear its arm off and beat it with them, with it. And I mean, it won't even be a match. I mean, competition. So that'll be available on each side of the stage. Everybody say this with me. Father God, my life is yours. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. God, I thank you that the blood of Jesus has remitted my sin. Therefore, I'm forgiven. And I'm happy about that, God. I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell because Jesus is Lord of my life. God, thank you for the word that was sown in my life today. I receive it with gladness, and I'm looking forward. I'm patiently looking forward to the harvest of your word in my life, in Jesus' name. God, the work you've started in me, you're faithful to complete under the day of Christ Jesus. God, I thank you. Since Shear went overtime today, you're going to bless me super abundantly, more than I could ask or think. according to the power that works in me. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you that your word's alive in me. Thank you that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. And better life is right in front of me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.